Final hour on this Friday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Going to talk some college basketball here in the final hour. We'll do Monday headlines coming up at the bottom of the hour. Connor, you mentioned you have some breaking news for us.
There is breaking Nashville Predators news, everyone. World-renowned musical children's group formed by Ryan O'Reilly, Mac and Cheese, will be releasing their first ever studio album on April 10th.
I guess we know what Ryan O'Reilly's been up to over the Olympic break so far.
We know how he's spending his break. But, I mean, this is the biggest news to come out of this franchise.
See, I had no idea that that was even a thing until Max had Parker play it coming back from a break a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Pizza Party?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal. I thought it was the Wiggles.
No, I was there the day that I guess I was I think it was on Smashville Live. I was producing with them, and he had revealed that. So naturally, Max had us, you know, do some research, and oh, we found it.
I love it.
So I would like to take credit for some of the success of Mac and Cheese.
That's something.
Should I send out a push notification?
Yeah, please. This is massive.
That's something to look forward to if you're a Preds fan. You said April 10th?
Yeah, it's Pizza Party.
This is crazy that this is Ryan O'Reilly.
I mean, I've seen Ryan O'Reilly sing this song, and now I see him on a commercial with the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Is Ryan O'Reilly the only player in NHL history to have a children's band and a Conn Smythe trophy?
Well, he has to be. Has to be. I mean, that needs to be at the top of his resume when he retires and goes to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Ryan O'Reilly, NHL Hall of Famer, lead singer of Mac and Cheese.
Grammy Award winning Mac and Cheese artist.
Let's talk some college basketball here. Big weekend coming up as we come down the stretch. Again, we said it when we talked about the women's side. 4 weeks from Sunday, we get a bracket. And March Madness is nearly here. Big games in the SEC as we start to get closer to games over at Bridgestone Arena in that second week of March as well. Let's start with Vanderbilt in town over at Memorial Gym. It's a noon tip tomorrow. Vandy and Texas A&M. There's a logjam in the SEC at 7-4. Vandy, Alabama, Mizzou, Tennessee, A&M, all 7-4. This is a big game, not just for Vanderbilt trying to improve their NCAA tournament seeding, but also if they want to be in conversation for a double bye in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, this is a big one. I mean, A&M has been the team that's kind of had a fall from grace at the top of the SEC just because they played the weaker portion of
right.
the conference at the beginning of the conference schedule, and now they're playing the big boys, so. But this is still a big one. If you want to solidify yourself as a higher-seeded SEC team and maybe even a higher-seeded national team, then this is one you got to win. I think, injuries aside, I think Vanderbilt is the better team than A&M.
Yeah.
They've been playing well without the injuries. I think that win at Auburn will give a bit of momentum to that team. But, yeah, they just got to keep their composure together, keep knocking down shots the way they're capable of doing. A&M is not a very big team, so your post-woes that have been kind of plaguing you all season will not be as prevalent this game as they would be in other games. But this is still a big one. You want to win, and of course you got a home crowd behind you. So Pac Memorial, go see Vanderbilt. This is a big one, especially if you want to get out of that log jam you mentioned.
Yeah, you mentioned the injuries. Duke Miles and Frankie Collins have missed a lot of time.
Is Frankie going to redshirt again?
I don't know. And there's a lot that needs to go into that. There's still plenty of time left for him to come back, but Mark Byington seemed kind of unsure about what the future looks like for Frankie Collins. We'll get a better idea when the availability reports come out tonight of maybe you could see one of those two guys come back soon. But I would doubt either of them play tomorrow just based on what we've seen.
Right.
But talking about that logjam, Vanderbilt plays three of those four teams they're tied with over the next week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They play A&M Saturday, then Wednesday take on Missouri on the road, and then Tennessee comes here next Saturday.
And then they've got, I think that Tuesday is Kentucky.
Georgia the next Wednesday, and then Kentucky the Saturday after that.
Yeah, and Kentucky's ranked just one place ahead of them.
Right.
They're in second currently behind Florida. It says on their website they're in third. They have the tiebreaker over Arkansas. So
right, yes. They blew out Coach Cal.
That was so good. It was so much fun. But regardless, you've got a log jam at, I guess it would be fourth place for the
right.
SEC.
So I guess it's second through seventh, eighth. Second through eighth is all separated by one game. Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of teams in contention there. And then Texas is sitting a game back in ninth. So I think you feel pretty safe if you're Vanderbilt that you're going to end up getting that single bye into day two of the tournament. It's just about can you get to Friday. Going to be interesting to see out of those teams that are 7-4, can anybody catch Arkansas or Kentucky? And who ends up coming out on top of that group that's all tied up with,
yeah,
still, I will say, seven games left in the regular season. This is all going to sort itself out.
Right. Arkansas's got a relatively light schedule the rest of the way. I think I looked at it the other day. The only tough games they really play are, I think they play Alabama and they play maybe at Florida. So those are two losable games. But, I think it's just how does your schedule fare the rest of the way? If you have winnable games, then you're going to be in it. If you don't, then you got to find a way to win those. So Vanderbilt, I think, is a product of that. You got to figure out how to keep your team together, how to stay relatively healthy. You're missing two key players, but don't have any more injuries. And, you know, just play your best basketball down the stretch. Now is the time to start heating up as the season winds down, because you get into postseason, and similar to baseball, it's not usually the best team that wins the national championship. It's the hottest.
Right. So, it's the team that's playing the best when March rolls around.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Florida maybe not be the perfect example of that. Last year, they were a one seed, but they were the third one seed. So that was a team that started playing incredible basketball down the stretch.
Yep. They won the SEC tournament, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you're right. It's about the team that can get hot at the right time. Vanderbilt has a tough week coming up here. Again, a lot of teams towards the top. A&M, you're right, has slid a little bit. Missouri's not a world beater, but these are going to be important games. Tennessee has LSU tomorrow and then Oklahoma in the middle of next week. Both those teams are 2-9 in the conference. So a chance for Tennessee to keep on stacking wins. And the collision course is almost here. 8 days from now, we get Vanderbilt and Tennessee in Memorial Gym. I'm excited for that one.
That's going to be a fun one.
These teams aren't at the top of college basketball, but I think they are very comparable in terms of their talent and
physicality.
I think the styles are a little bit different, but I think it's going to be a really fun one next week over at Memorial Gym. And this will be interesting. 2076 says, Vandy didn't blow out Coach Cal. Arkansas crushed us. We're talking Kentucky.
Yeah, we were.
Kentucky blew out Coach Cal.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, it was like an 8-point victory, but, you know, it was pretty much like that the entire way.
But they controlled it most of the way. Yeah. I guess blowout probably, but yes. Arkansas beat Vandy. Vandy beat Kentucky.
Yes.
All within like 1 week.
Yeah, it was.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll keep talking college basketball on this other side. We'll look a little bit into that Kentucky-Florida game coming up tomorrow. Do the Wildcats stand a chance down there in Gainesville? We'll do it next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game.
That's better. That's the better stuff right there.
I can't believe we got three Taylor Swift songs this year.
Look, I wasn't trying to open the floodgates.
You did.
One, I blame Chase McCabe for. It's
now
his
fault. Now you can't close them. It's all T Swift from here on out.
It's happened.
Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 the game. Talking college basketball here in hour number three. We are just about a month away from Selection Sunday. 30 days from today.
Thank you, John Rothstein. We will get a bracket.
Yes. We sleep in May. And the two local teams.
Some people have hobbies. I watch college basketball.
Yes. Right. I haven't looked at the, because I guess bracketology got updated today from Joe Lunardi. Let's see. I saw both were on the 5 line heading into last week, or the wins on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tennessee
has fallen to a 6 seed.
Yeah.
According to Joe Lunardi. Vanderbilt is, did they move up to it? They moved up to a 4 seed. So Vanderbilt now a 4 seed, and Tennessee a 6 seed, according to Joe Lunardi, as things stand right now. Obviously, a long way to go. We mentioned their games coming up tomorrow. Vanderbilt hosting Texas A&M. Tennessee is hosting LSU. Kentucky taking on Florida, and the Gators have been the best team in the SEC so far this season. How are you feeling heading into this one with your Wildcats on the road in Gainesville?
I mean, selfishly, not great because, you know, Gainesville's a tough place to play. Florida's playing the best basketball in the SEC right now. So it's a recipe for disaster, but it's worth noting that Kentucky, the last 6 appearances in Gainesville, is 6-0. And look, this is the most unpredictable Kentucky team we've ever seen.
Yeah.
One night, they'll go lay an egg and lose by 30 to Vanderbilt. The next night, they'll go out and beat Arkansas by 10. So it's pretty unpredictable. That's why they're called the Unpredictables. So I don't know. I'm kind of split on this one because I can see a world where they just get shell-shocked, and then I can see a world where, you know, they get a victory and upset. So I don't know. It's an interesting game to have your eye on. We're absolutely loaded with sports this weekend, just in general.
Yeah.
College basketball, there's a great slate on Saturday. Women's basketball, there's a good slate on Sunday.
And Saturday, you got LSU South Carolina tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow?
Yeah, it's prime time on ABC.
I'll be watching. And then we got Olympic hockey, so it's a load on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, Olympic hockey. What else? There's something else this week. Well, I guess college baseball started weekend. And
Daytona 500.
Daytona 500 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And
500's coming up. Don't forget.
Golf season is underway for our golf fans out there. I don't know where they are this weekend. They were at Waste Management last weekend, which is always – it's the people's major. Did you see Max Homa last
week? Was he the one wearing a jersey?
Maybe. But he was asked, like, if you want to come to this tournament and just watch golf, where would you go? And he goes, oh, you go to the front nine. That's where you can watch the best golf. But I would go to 16, which is the stadium hole. And they're like, and why is that? To drink. That was what he said. So it's the people's major. There were lines like 4 hours long to get into the 16th hole.
Oh, my
gosh. It's great. And the Masters coming up quickly, 2 months away.
My favorite thing to put on and, you know, take a 2-hour power nap and wake up and realize nothing has happened.
I love the Masters. I don't watch golf year-round, but I love the Masters.
You know spring is coming when you're watching ESPN and you start to get the Georgia commercials.
I mean, this is where all of our relatively older listeners are going to come after me. I'm not a fan.
I love the Masters.
Not a fan.
Love it. I apply for tickets every year and never get it. My dad, too. He's never gotten it.
A tradition unlike any other.
Yes.
For some of us, I don't care.
It is a big weekend for college basketball. And we're talking about Kentucky and Florida. Kentucky currently projected as a 7 seed by Joe Lunardi, while Florida is a 3 seed. Kind of funny. Oh, there we go.
See,
hello, friends.
This just says nap time.
And welcome to Augusta.
I do not care.
86th playing of the Masters on CBS.
Yeah, Christian Skelton is going to be really mad at me for saying that, but I do not care.
I need a pimento cheese from Augusta so bad.
There's just everything about the Masters is great. The concessions, the merch, the tradition.
The no phones policy.
The no phones policy. Everybody just living in the moment.
I do not care. I have never been more disinterested in a topic until today.
Well, we will stick with what you do care about, which is college basketball. I was about to say the SEC, like last year, it was dominant. 14 teams get in. You had 2 of the 1 seeds. This year, Florida is the highest projected seed at 3. So the SEC is not in a great spot heading towards the tournament. It does feel like, even with a couple of losses last weekend, the top 4 of Arizona, Michigan, Duke, UConn, like that's the 4 right now that you're looking at as true national championship contenders.
Yeah, and I mean, Arizona's coming off of a loss.
Right, right. I forgot Arizona lost to Kansas, mm-hmm. too. So all 3 of those 4 teams have lost in the last week.
There is one undefeated team in the nation remaining in the MAC, and it's Miami, Ohio. Can't wait to see them as a 10 seed. But, yeah, this is a really wide-open year in terms of national title contenders. I'm not sure there's one that you can point to and say that team has no weaknesses because every single team does. Michigan, I think, is the kind of team that if they have an off-shooting night, they're probably not going to win. Arizona, the same way. The thing I'm looking forward to in come tournament time is how did these freshmen fare? Because I don't think it's any secret this has been the most, if not, or it's been one of the most, if not the most dynamic freshman classes we've ever seen in college basketball. A.J. DeBonsta from BYU, Darren Peterson when he decides to actually play, and it's not a big game. Koa Pete at Arizona, Cam Boozer, all of these freshmen that are just kind of taking the world by storm and are going to be good NBA players one day. This is just kind of how college basketball has been this season, and I'm curious to see which ones fold under the pressure of March Madness and which ones thrive, because I think all of them have the capability to do both.
Tough for North Carolina coming off that big win that Caleb Wilson is out. He fractured his left hand. So that's one of those star freshmen that is now out for at least a little bit of time. The Illinois, is it Wagler?
Wagler.
Wagler, yeah. The Illinois freshman. He's been great.
You know who else plays for Illinois? The son of Pejesh Stojakovic.
Really?
He is very good.
Wow.
On his third school in 3 years.
I have not watched enough Illinois basketball.
Where was his first? Because he was at Stanford last year.
He's at Cal.
Cal.
Oh, so we went Stanford. Wow. Yeah, I think this is going to be a really fun March. I really do. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's not just the NCAA tournament. I was talking with Corey Curtis about this on Wednesday. Like, over at Bridgestone,
mm-hmm.
I think you may be able to look at the top eight teams, because it is tough to go 5 wins in 5 days to win a title if you're not getting a bye past the first round.
Yeah.
But the teams that get to start on Thursday or later, I don't think you would be shocked if any of them went and won the whole thing.
Corey had me a little fired up there, because at one point he goes, even Florida could win it. And I'm like, Corey, you do realize
they're the one seed as of right now.
I was like, Corey, you do realize they were picked to win the SEC and they are currently the one seed.
And they are the reigning national champions.
They are not a dark horse, Corey Curtis. He probably has no idea who I am, but that's okay.
I am fired up for March. Both sides, men's, women's, I think we're going to get some really good basketball. And this weekend coming up, big games. Again, for Vanderbilt, you bounced back with the win against Auburn. Can you sustain it at home against Texas A&M? Last weekend was a tough one against Oklahoma. You fell behind. You tried to battle back. You came up just short. Can you get a win? Tennessee trying to avoid a couple of trap games coming up here in the next week. And then, as you mentioned, Kentucky trying to see if they can go pull it off and move themselves into a tie for first place in the SEC if they win tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Apparently there's a documentary that CBS is doing on this season with Kentucky, so I'm excited for that. But I want to play the actual games first. I am one of those that I could sit down and watch just about anyone play college basketball and find enjoyment in it. So this is a fun time of year for me. I'm excited for both sides, honestly. The women's tournament, maybe not as unpredictable as the men's, because the first two rounds, usually the higher seed wins.
Right.
But once you get into like the Sweet 16, that's when it becomes
high-level basketball.
Really, really fun. And you and I obviously talked about it to start the show. I think that national title is wide open. I think, you know, UConn's obviously going to be the favorite just because of the level of play they have, the way they're beating teams.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, UCLA, Vanderbilt, Texas, South Carolina, LSU are all semi-comparable to each other. So I'm very interested in the women's tournament this year. And, of course, the men's. But really both. I'll be locked in on both.
It's going to be a ton of fun. Love college basketball season, and glad that we're – I mean, it goes by faster every single year, but glad that we are getting close to
We've only got seven games left.
I know. Crazy.
It feels like we just started.
There's only four on the women's side.
It's because college football wants to play their national championship up until February.
Right. That is true. Well, the Super Bowl sometimes is that dividing line, too, of, like, once you get past the Super Bowl, that's when everybody turns to college basketball.
I hate people like that. That are, well, I don't start watching until the tournament starts. I'm like, you're missing
out. Then you know nothing.
Yeah, and then they act like they're experts.
Yeah.
Well, I got the number one overall seed going all the way.
I'm telling you, Creighton, they're going to go all the way.
Creighton ain't going to make the tournament today or this year.
Really?
I don't think so.
They're pretty bad.
I don't watch enough Big East basketball.
It's because I don't play for them anymore. Ryan Cockburn.
Oh, right.
My doppelganger.
Yeah. Devin and Dixon on the text line says, if we didn't mention the Daytona 500, the suit and him would have been very disappointed.
500's coming up.
I did know it was happening, obviously. But I'm glad you saved me because it was on the tip of my tongue of like, what's happening on Sunday?
I saved both of us because you know who would have come in this studio.
Yes, if we didn't mention the Daytona 500. We have our Monday headlines coming up next. Maybe we make a Daytona 500 prediction. I don't know.
I won't. You guys can, but I don't know enough to actually make a prediction.
I mean, so. I use the Monday headline segment to just make random bold predictions and see what happens.
Maybe I'll march down to the suit's office here for about 2 minutes
and see if you can get a pick from him.
See if I can get some data.
We'll do our Monday headlines coming up next. What do you think is going to happen over the weekend? You got college basketball. You got Olympic hockey. You've got skeleton if you want to make a prediction there. You got the Daytona 500,
the Lug.
We will get into all of it coming up next with our Monday headlines here on this Friday. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
See, this is the good stuff.
It's a great one. Well done, Parker.
My sister is somewhere rejoicing at
this is devolved into all Taylor Swift, but it's fine. We can work.
But this is the good stuff.
This is the per executive orders.
You've been told to do this?
Oh, he told you to do this?
I've been told. But I don't mind, as long as it's the old stuff.
I mean, thank you for not playing, like, what's this, the Ophelia or whatever, which is...
I couldn't tell you.
Tremendously horrible.
There's some okay songs on her new album, but yeah, nothing like the old stuff. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. It is now time for our Monday headlines. What is going to happen around the world of sports this weekend? We will try and predict it. We will take your Monday headlines on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Connor, where are you going first for Monday headlines?
I sincerely apologize to both of you if this is what you're going to
do. Go ahead.
Give me an Olympic clean sweep for Team USA.
Okay.
I know. Look, there he is freaking out. Yeah. I think they get the win over Denmark tomorrow, and then they get the win over the ice generals, the rink generals.
Germany? Like, yeah.
Leon Bresson. He had the music queued up, and I'm so sorry. Now I feel bad.
Hoping we hear this a lot over the next couple weeks.
I just took hockey from hockey's biggest savant. I feel so horrible.
You know, I'll stick with hockey here too, and you can keep it playing because this is American by proxy. Give me Switzerland to beat Canada this afternoon.
Yes! God bless this country.
I'm taking the captain. I'm taking Roman Josi. Switzerland upsets Canada in game two of Canada's run in Olympic hockey, which, again, it doesn't matter all that much because everybody makes the next round.
Yeah.
But Canada would likely not get a bye if they lose that game. So give me the Swiss today and Roman Josi. Parker, what is your first
Let's
Monday
keep
headline?
This trend going, baby. Give me the Czechs to get it done versus the French tomorrow night. Or it's tonight, actually.
It's going on right now.
Actually, it's going on right now. Give me the Czechs to beat the French this
let's
weekend.
Let's see what the score is.
I mean in this Czechia. This guy is just unbelievable with the amount of hockey he knows. Like, he's a dictionary. I could ask him anything about hockey, and he would tell me the answer.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, you're off to a good start. It's 6-3 Czechia in the third period.
I didn't even check the score. I didn't even know they were playing right now.
Like, watch how much of a genius this guy is. Parker, how many players are on the ice together at one time?
For one team?
Yeah.
Six.
Look at that.
He knows so much.
I mean, I wouldn't have known that.
What constitutes icing?
So I know what icing is. I just can't explain it. I'm embarrassing myself. What is a power play? Power play is when you lose a guy. But you still keep playing.
It's close enough. I mean, yeah.
You can play like 4-on-5, 3-on-5.
I mean, he's 3-of-3. He's just unbelievable.
Yeah, he's crushing it.
He knows everything.
All right, so we all went Olympic hockey for our first Monday headline. Connor has the U.S. sweeping the weekend, beating Denmark and Germany. I've got the Swiss upsetting Canada later on today. And Parker, with the very bold prediction that Czechia, up 6-3 in the third period, is going to hold on and beat France.
This is like the time Chris Sanders tried to take an underdog while the game was currently playing.
All right, let's go to our second Monday headline. What do you got, Connor? What else is happening this weekend?
My second Monday headline is I will pass out in front of a television while the Daytona 500 is going on.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. This is me manifesting which means it's probably not going to happen. But I think the Cats get it done. I think they knock off the Gators in Gainesville.
There you go.
To move to 7-0.
Wishful thinking, being optimistic. I was going to go college basketball, but somebody's got to go Daytona 500, right?
Where's the suit? I need him.
I think Chase. I'm interested if Chase is listening. I'd love to know his thoughts on my pick here because I don't know if it's even close to being right. But I know this guy. He is actually a Virginia Tech football fan. He is from Virginia. Give me Denny Hamlin to win the Daytona 500.
What kind of car does he drive? Or what?
I think he's a Toyota.
Okay.
At least he used to be at some point.
This is what Christian and I were just staring at last night. Okay, what brands do these guys have their cars? I was like, look, an M&M. And that was
Is it Kyle Busch used to
Kyle
be the
Busch,
M&M?
Or he used to be.
He went for a long time. Kyle Busch is on the pole, actually, on Sunday.
I have no idea what that means.
He's running first.
Oh, okay.
To start the race. I'm going to go Denny Hamlin. He's starting in 22nd, but I'm going to believe in the local to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Parker, what is your second Monday headline?
In the Big 12, give me Kansas to beat Iowa State on the road in Hilton Coliseum. Iowa State's a 5.5-point favorite. Who knows if Darren Peterson's going
to
play?
I
don't even
think
if he knows.
It's a big game. He won't. He'll sit out.
So it's a top 10 matchup. Kansas is hot right now. They're coming off a win versus number one Arizona. Give me the Jayhawks in Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, they're playing well right now. They got the win, was it two weekends ago against BYU? In that huge matchup between freshmen and then, of course, beat Arizona earlier this week, even without Darren Peterson. Kansas could be one of those sleeper teams to look out
for. Two of their
biggest
wins on the year have come without Darren Peterson. Arizona and Tennessee.
Is he still going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft, even with all of this?
I mean, if I were a general manager, I think health concerns would be a thing for me.
Health concerns or just like... want to.
Yeah.
Like, does he love ball? the classic draft conversation. Does he love ball? I don't know. That's missing 9 games with leg cramping, subbing out late in the top 15 matchup with leg cramping. And
Florida's 11.5-point favorites?
Oh.
That seems high.
It's at home.
Yeah. Well, they spotted a 1.5 for the home team. So, technically, they're 10.5-point favorites.
Yeah. So it would be more like 8 if it was in Lexington?
That seems high.
Devin and Dixon says Denny Hamlin is a 3-time Daytona 500 winner, so solid pick. Let's
there you go.
That's
who I was leaning towards as well.
I know track. Is that what it's called? I know
course.
I know.
Turn left.
I know wheel.
I mean, this is a loaded slate this weekend for college basketball. You've got Kentucky, Florida. Clemson, Duke, that's a 4-20, which somehow Duke lost and didn't move down whatsoever.
Clemson lost this week.
Oh, so they'll be unranked.
2.
Hokie Hokies.
Hokie 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 High, yes. Virginia Tech went into Little John, the first team in 2 years to beat Clemson in regulation at home.
Oh. UCLA and Michigan play, Kansas and Iowa State. Nebraska ball plays Northwestern. Let's see, A&M, Vanderbilt, obviously. Louisville's on the road at Baylor for some reason, because for some reason we're doing non-conference.
Well, and we've got over at Bridgestone tomorrow, we've got Ohio State, Virginia.
Yes, we do.
So that'll be interesting. Jake Diebler, I heard him on with Chase and Big Joe, the head coach at Ohio State, former staff member of Bryce Drew at Vanderbilt. So he's got ties to the region. And, you know, as much as hate Virginia, I do like Ryan Odom, their head coach.
I do like Ryan Odom.
You know why?
Because he beat Purdue.
No, well.
Or Virginia.
He beat Virginia.
I'm sorry.
As the head coach of UMBC.
I got my 16 seeds mixed up.
Yes. So even though he is at Virginia now, he gave me one of my favorite sporting hate watches of all time.
Was Tech in that tournament? Because Buzz was the coach, right?
Yeah. Yes, they were. They lost to Colin Sexton in Alabama that year.
Ah, that's right.
And then the year after that was when they lost to Zion in the Sweet 16.
Yes.
Yes. And
then Buzz left.
And Buzz left.
For a lateral move.
And that was the year Virginia won the national
title. You ever thought about this? Buzz Williams' career is just lateral moves.
Yeah, he leaves after 6 years every time. He did it at Marquette. He did it at Virginia Tech. He did it at Texas A&M. Maryland, you've got five more years with him. And it was hilarious. I saw Maryland fans complaining a couple weeks ago of like, he doesn't get Maryland basketball. All of his merch has Buzz Williams stuff on it, and it's not about Maryland. It's about Buzz. I'm like, yeah, have you not paid attention to Buzz's career? Yeah, It's always about Buzz.
He walks in the middle of the court, in the middle of the game, even if his team is playing well, just a scream.
Wears a three-piece suit, sweats through that thing by half.
But Buzz Williams is the epitome of he's got an expiration date everywhere he goes. It's like you love him and all his antics when he starts there, but by year four or five, you're like, man, he's winning, but can he please leave? And then he's gone. So, yeah, I saw that from Maryland fans. I was like, have you watched any of Buzz Williams' career to this point?
And realized how it's always been.
All of his merch does not have, like, school name on it. It has hashtag get better, which is his thing. It's all about Buzz. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've got one more segment on this Friday. We will wrap up the show on the other side. If you have any Monday headlines for the weekend, you can send those in on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. Oh, he went away from it.
I'm just unfamiliar with this movie at this point.
Well, you know, I actually was about to bring up the Super Bowl from last week. This is the same singer who sang Lift Every Voice and Sing before the game last
night. Coco Jones.
Coco Jones, yeah.
She was good.
She was good. I was actually about to bring this up. Final segment of the show, by the way. Next man up, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Chasing Big Joe coming up at the top of the hour. We just did our Monday headlines for this week, and I do have to bring up, we tried to guess everything around the Super Bowl last week in terms of coin toss, anthem length, Gatorade color.
Who got all
those
correct?
Connor Newt was right on with most of it. You got heads, which...
Cash.
Parker and I were on tails.
Tails always fails.
Tails never fails except when it does. And then, so what was the line you set for the anthem?
Over a minute and a half.
Okay, so yeah, you were clean on that. The actual line I saw was 157 and a half.
Somebody just barely missed that.
So it was 156.16 was what I had. I was timing it just for fun. Charlie Puth, he was really good.
He's really good.
He was good.
That one shot of him hitting that last note and then the camera just single shot pans to the flyover. I was like, God,
cinema.
I love this country so much.
It ended up being, what, yellow Gatorade?
Was it yellow?
I think it was.
I didn't keep track of that one.
Yes, it was yellow because they showed the shot of it mixing before they actually dumped it on Mike McDonald.
Well, we all went blue, so we all missed that one.
Yes. What else did we try and pick?
I tried to say that Collinsworth would mention Mahomes five times. I don't think he mentioned it once.
I said JSN Super Bowl MVP, which was wrong.
He had like three catches for like
four catches.
For like 27 yards or something.
The game went, I think, the way we expected it to.
Yeah.
Except for everything surrounding the game, which we were mostly wrong about. Connor got more than the rest of us did.
I just no ball-ish.
You know.
I know everything that revolves around the actual ball.
You know coin.
I guess musical timing would be the Mike, thing.
You know coin and you know microphone.
Remember, the ball is an obscure shape.
It is.
So it bounces.
It's oblong.
Oblong. Well, it bounces weird ways.
It looked like curling for me at one point where it was just smoothly screaming down the ice and then freaking Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah.
Unpredictable. You'll just never know.
Not typically, though. Like, usually he's pretty on point with what he says. It's about the same every single game.
How many times did he say, here's a guy?
I was not counting.
Because I heard it many, many times.
Yeah, I mean, that's his shtick. He's gonna stick with that. But anyway, yeah, we were off on a lot with the Super Bowl, but we did have an idea of how it was going to go. The clip of Drake May going down and Mike Vrabel like basically like, hey, do you want to finish this game? I don't know if you saw that. Like it was a rough day for the Patriots.
Yeah. Not everything was totally his fault. Drake May, that is. He did not look good.
No, he didn't. But it's one game.
Right.
And that's what we've talked about all week is it's fair to ask the question, is he ever going to get back? Because it's tough to get back to the Super Bowl.
The thing everyone's peddling home is, should Will Campbell switch positions?
Yeah, and Vrabel said no.
Good.
No, that is peak why Mike Vrabel.
No. Good because right. Because I think Vrabel's too stubborn to get out of his own way.
No, that's what
he
does.
And let that happen.
Yes. Mike Vrabel, he is going to stick by his way or the highway. And, yeah, he said he's not playing guard, center, tight end for us. He's our left tackle. I was like, all right, good luck with that.
Because he drafted him at number four saying, this guy is our starting tackle.
And I don't want to act like Will Campbell can't be a good left tackle, because there were times during his rookie season when he was a very good left tackle. In the biggest moments, and I know he said that he had a knee injury that he was playing through as well. Mm-hmm. In the biggest moment, he was very bad on Sunday.
He has T-Rex arms.
Yeah.
Which is not good for an offensive lineman. I know we get on Reuben Bain about the short arms thing, but he's been proven very effective. And obviously playing a completely different position. Will Campbell, that is the position you cannot have, the short arms.
Yeah, because most of those edge rushers are longer than you, and if they get to you first, you're in trouble. If you can't get to them first, I guess I should say.
Well, he was a guy I didn't necessarily love coming out of the draft either, mostly because he profiled as a guard, and I didn't think that made sense for the Titans. But you're seeing it now. The Patriots, he profiled as a guard. They're playing him at tackle, and he's not doing well at it. So he needs a position change. Vrabel won't do it.
Well, it is funny. I saw yesterday that it might have been Daniel Jeremiah or one of the other draft experts was tweeting about Francis Maui-Noah from Miami and said he profiles more as a guard at the NFL level. Like, what is with all of these high-level offensive line prospects that all end up having to be guards?
Gimmick offenses.
Like, are there any true tackles out there?
Right. I mean,
is there a way to lengthen their arms?
Would you say that plastic surgery? Would you say that J.C. Latham is a true guard or a true tackle? I should say
yes. I think he's more of a right tackle than a left tackle.
Right.
Though. Like, I think the left tackle typically is more of like taller, leaner. Latham's more the road grader on the right side.
Well, he's morphed
slim down.
His body a
right. He's slimmed
bit.
Down, but like J.C. Latham fits the stereotypical right tackle size. He's got. I don't think his arms are an issue. I think he'd be a good guard. I think he can be a good tackle too.
I think it's mental for him.
Yeah,
he mentally gets in his own way with these penalties.
The penalties, and I think the injury got to him too.
Yeah,
I think it was tough for him to ramp back up after missing the first month and a half. This is a big year for J.C. Latham, but I think he's a tackle. I guess Spencer Fano is the lone like tackle towards the top that actually profiles as a tackle. What were your thoughts on the conversation this week of can the Titans take a tackle at number four?
They shouldn't. I don't think it makes sense for the timeline. I think you go edge rusher, of course. You and I are kind of the ones pumping that one out, but I think it would make sense to go edge rusher, and if you don't want to do that, then go receiver. The two I don't understand are drafting an offensive lineman and drafting Jeremiah Love. Those are the two I don't think make sense for the timeline of the Titans, because offensive line, you've spent two of your last three drafts investing in that position, and you know I think there are manageable ways outside of drafting a high pick, which you've done two of the last 3 years, that you can bolster that line a little bit. Running back, I think, is a interesting one, because that's a position that doesn't have a super long timeline.
I know D-Mace is big on Jeremiah
D-Mace
Love.
D-Mace loves Jeremiah Love. And I like Jeremiah Love too, but if this was a championship contending team like Kansas City or a team like that, then absolutely I would say do it. But this is a team that has too many holes, and I don't think running back is one of those prevalent holes like edge rusher or receiver is. So I don't think that one makes as much sense to me as it does for him. But that's his opinion, and he's very adamant about that, that's his opinion, and it shouldn't affect yours. So I'll stick to it.
We got the combine coming up in 2 weeks, and the Reuben Bain arm measurement is going to be a big, big moment to find out whether teams will view him as a top five guy. Maybe does he slide? I think the way he played in the college football playoff should matter more than whether his
did you know we is. Did you know we have a heavy lack of offensive line knowledge?
I understand what he's saying. He like Will Campbell, sure, he could turn into a good tackle.
No one said he
would. But, like, he does fit better as a guard. Like, that's what everybody said since he was coming out of the draft. So, I think Vrabel's being stubborn. Maybe he ends up being a good tackle. I think he could be an elite guard.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. That's going to be up to the Patriots. Doesn't affect us down here in Nashville.
Not my problem.
That'll about wrap things up for us here on this Friday. Been a fun show. Connor, always a pleasure having you in.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Next Friday, we'll see. Maybe Max Herz will be back. I mean, he's off on his break. We're letting him take some time as Olympic hockey rolls along. But should be a fun weekend coming up. We'll be back on Monday to recap all of it. The U.S. playing two games over in Milan, college basketball, the Daytona 500, and much more. We'll get to it all coming up on Monday. But keep it right here. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.